gentleman was celebrating his 100th birthday and was being interviewed by a reporter for a local newspaper. The reporter asked, "What are you most proud of?" The man thought deeply for a moment, then answered, "I don't have an enemy in the world." The reporter was startled by his response and said, "That is impressive. How did you do it? How did you live your life having no enemies?" The man answered, "I outlive them all." We've all been wounded by someone. Maybe like the 100-year-old man, you ignore them and hope to outlive them. Or maybe you try to seek revenge. Often, we can feel our response to our enemies is justified. So when Jesus tells us to love our enemies, he is turning what we might call everyday worldly wisdom upside down. Instead of hate, he instructs us to love. Instead of hitting back, he tells us to offer the other cheek. Instead of judging, he says we should forgive. These are not easy words to hear, especially if we've been deeply wounded. Imagine how difficult this must have been for Joseph. He'd been rejected and left for dead by his brothers. Many years later, during a famine, Joseph encountered his brothers again. He had the opportunity to repay them for their wrongdoings. He could have declined their request for food, yet he didn't. He chose to forgive. He chose a better way. The truth is, we all have hurt someone, whether by intent or accident. We may very well be someone's enemy. Our human nature causes us to mess up and to hurt and judge others. No one is innocent. Jesus challenges us to walk a different path. But this is something we cannot do on our own. We need God's help. Remember that Jesus never asked us to do something he himself had not done. Jesus was crucified by his enemies, yet as he was dying, he cried out, "Father, forgive them." We are loved by God. We are forgiven by God. We are not judged by God, thanks to Jesus. And as difficult as this may be to hear, God loves our enemies too. God wants us to live a life free from bitterness, anger, and a desire to seek revenge. This is not easy. It is heroic to choose to forgive instead of seeking revenge. Only God can give us the strength to do it. But who is our enemy? Who has hurt you? Do you have the courage to turn the question back on yourself and ask, "Who have I hurt? Who do I judge?" It truly is not an easy path, but Jesus will walk with us on our journey. Jesus offers some radical teaching, love your enemies. Our enemies are not only those who do not love us, it includes those who hate us and seek to do us harm. In the Old Testament, we are told to love our neighbour as ourselves in Leviticus chapter 19, which is reflected in Matthew chapter 5, where neighbour means fellow Israelites. So it is a call for national solidarity rather than doing good to whoever we come across. Jesus begins with the golden rule and then steps up his teaching. This rule, "Do to others as you would have them do to you," is found in many ancient cultures, including the Jewish tradition. A negative version occurs in Tobit chapter 4, verse 15 in the Apocrypha, which says, "What you hate, do not do to anyone." What Jesus now demands is that you do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. So not just to your friends, Then there are your enemies, those who curse and abuse you, those who dishonour you by slapping your face, those who snatch your clothes. You have to love even your enemies, Bless them. Do not retaliate. Offer thieves even more than they have taken. All this is rooted in God's own character, for you have to be merciful just as the Father is merciful. Joseph, the one with a long coat with sleeves, no mention of any colour, was hated by his 11 brothers because he was their father Jacob's favourite. They sold him into slavery in Egypt, but told their father that Joseph was dead. However, Joseph was favoured by God and rose high in Egypt. He had divinely inspired dreams and predicted a 7-year period of plenty and a 7-year famine, so that Egypt was well prepared. Here in chapter 45, the brothers came to Egypt to try to buy grain 2 years into the famine. They do not recognise this high official, but Joseph reveals his identity and forgives his brothers. He promises to keep them from poverty. The brothers, with a guilty conscience, find it hard to accept his forgiveness. But the world cannot survive without our giving and receiving forgiveness. Jesus says, "Do to others as you will have them do to you." This sounds like a very simple principle to live by. Why then does it seem in practice to be so challenging? Assuming that we would like to be treated kindly and with love, what gets in the way of us showing kindness and love to others? Jesus says that we should love our enemies, not just those who do good to us. And what if we are, as the saying goes, our own worst enemy? When we hear the word enemy, who or what comes to mind? For some, it's a people who are different to us. For some, it is someone who has hurt us. According to the Cambridge Dictionary, an enemy is a person who hates or opposes another person and tries to harm them or stop them doing something. A country or the armed forces of a country that is at war with another country, or something that harms something else. In reality, we have all been wounded by someone at some time. We all have or have had an enemy. But what does it mean to love your enemy? Clearly, it must be more than a warm, fuzzy feeling, not least when we do not share someone's values or find ourselves appalled or outraged by their actions. Approaching this from another angle, have we ever stopped to consider that we may be the enemy? The truth is that we have others too. How would we want to be treated? And how can we learn to love the enemy within as well as without? Have you ever felt you've been treated unfairly? Perhaps as an older child, you often felt left compared to your younger siblings. I know I have. I'm 8 years older than my brother, and I sometimes felt growing up that he got away with a lot more than I ever did, and I was the one who was always getting into trouble for the things that he did. Our feelings of being left out or treated unfairly are real and raw. This was certainly the case for Joseph. In fact, his brothers threw him in a pit and left him for dead. So can you imagine the immersion of the reunion with his brothers? Have you ever been in a situation where you have encountered someone who really hurt you? How did you handle this? And how should we handle something like that? Perhaps you might have heard of the autobiography written by Corrie ten Boom entitled The Hiding Place. In this powerful book, Corrie ten Boom, who had been imprisoned by the Nazi regime for her hiding and protecting of Jews, tells of her experience of preaching at church service on the very subject of forgiveness after the war was over, and she had been released from prison camp. As she left the pulpit and came down to the centre of the sanctuary, she noticed a man coming towards her with his hands extended and a bright smile on his face. She recognised him as the chief guard in the concentration camp, where she and her sister had been imprisoned, and where her sister had died. The guard's face was beaming that night after this church service. "Oh, Fräulein," he said, "how grateful I am for your powerful message, to think that Jesus washed my sins away." Corrie ten Boom found herself paralysed as the guard thrust his hand out towards her. She could not raise her hand from her side. She writes, "Even as the vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them, and yet I could do nothing about it. I could not feel even a slightest spark of love or charity. And so I breathed this silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Please give me your forgiveness." And with that prayer, she was able to lift her hand from her side and touch the hand of the man who had persecuted her. "From my shoulder," she writes, "along my arm and through my hand passed the current from me to him. And in that moment, I discovered that it is not on our unforgiveness anymore, than our own goodness, that the world's healing depends. The world's healing depends upon God. When our Lord tells us to love our enemies, he gives us, along with the command to do it, the love itself." In a clearing in the middle of the rainforest is a cage containing a bunch of bananas. An ape comes across this cage, reaches through the bars, and takes hold of the bananas. However, he finds that his fist will not fit back through the bars. Reluctant to let go of the bananas, he settles down on the ground next to the cage, keeping a tight hold of them. When a predator stumbles across the ape, he is helpless to protect himself unless he is willing to let go of that which he is holding so tightly. Only in letting go is the ape free. And love can look like a cup of tea. In May 2013, a British soldier, Fusilier Lee Rigby, was murdered by Islamic terrorists. This sparked a number of anti-Muslim protests and attacks across the country. The BBC and The Guardian reported an English Defence League protest outside a mosque in York that was defused when members of the mosque invited the protesters in for a chat over tea and biscuits and to join in a game of football. In spending time together, the protesters and the Muslims found common ground in the belief that extremist violence is wrong. Having a generous spirit and loving our enemies can break down barriers and hatred. So much of our world shows examples of actions and consequences. Commit a crime and be punished. Be unkind and lose a friend. Lie and cheat and lose the trust of many. Joseph had many reasons to dislike his brothers. Their actions resulted in slavery and imprisonment before he went on to be Pharaoh's right-hand man. When Joseph met his brothers, he saw beyond what had happened to him and focused on their need for food. He was now able to help his estranged family. He shows the generosity of spirit by setting aside his bad times and realizing that he was part of God's plan to safeguard the future of his family. Can we show this generosity of spirit, looking beyond retribution to an outcome that benefits those who wronged us as well as ourselves? Do we get what we deserve? May we have had a lucky escape when the consequences of our actions have been more positive than we would have expected. Generosity shown to us can lead to opportunities for self-reflection and growth, as well as gratitude. Is Luke showing us responses opposite to our expectations to encourage us to show generosity to others, echoing God's generosity to us? The gospel reading encourages us to treat others as we would like to be treated, as our actions influence the lives of others. God responds to us with mercy, love, and generosity. Can we do the same? This gospel passage follows Luke's very distinct version of the Beatitudes, which was last Sunday's lectionary gospel. Love your enemies appears twice in the passage. But that is far from being the only extraordinary teaching here. Give your shirt to someone who takes your coat. Bless those who curse you. Expect no credit for loving those who love us, or doing good to those who do good to us, but even sinners do the same. Above all, expect nothing in return for loving your enemies. Living up to such extraordinary teachings is an enormous challenge. Few of us do live up to that challenge, but even if we often fail, we surely should aspire to do so. How would it be if we lived up to the challenge to love our enemies locally, let alone nationally and internationally? Often, we are encouraged to think of the poor and the sick as not like us, as other. Those who flee their homes and take risky crossings in flimsy boats are seen as problems or even as enemies to our way of life. In his letter to the US bishops, the Pope calls on all men and women of goodwill not to give in to narratives that discriminate against and cause unnecessary suffering to our migrants and refugees, brothers and sisters. This gospel passage does not mean that we will never disagree, but purely it does mean that we should take great care of how we disagree. It means that we should not use disagreement as a reason as to diminish the value of another person. This is hard teaching to put into practice, especially with ideas and beliefs which are very close to our hearts. How can we build communities of forgiveness and peace? Communities where we seek to resolve disputes and where we fight graciously without destroying each other. Maybe as we struggle with this passage, we can remember the words of the late MP Jo Cox in her maiden speech to Parliament when she said, "We are far more united and have far more in common than that which divides us." Amen.